Mr. President, members of Congress, you've been making a lot of noise about taking our guns away. But you might want to review history. 1835, Gonzales, Texas Territory. The authorities wanted to confiscate the big gun that protected that colony. You know what the people said? Come and take it. Because they were willing to fight for their freedom and their guns. So are we.
Come and take it if you want it. Come and take it if you can. Come and take it, but I warn you, you'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. We want the freedom that God gave us, so you best not cross that line. If you want this gun, you gotta come through us and take it.
One shot at a time, just like Gonzales. We're keeping our guns.
The Medic Shack. Join Cat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, live on the Just Measures Radio Network. 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, where we can show you how combat medicine and alternative healing can work together as one to help you survive anything that nature or man may throw at you. The Medic Shack on the Just Measures Radio Network.
You tell them I'm coming, and Jason's coming with me. You hear? Jason's coming with me!
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Do you think that you can take me on? You must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we going to put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds. And if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench. And we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Shooting Bench. We've got, boy, I wish it was Thursday. We got a lot of gun stuff to talk about. It's going to be an interesting show, I think, tomorrow night. And the show will be coming live and in Technicolor from the Sholo area. But the Liberty Lounge Friday will be, coming from Schatz Ranch. We've got some training and stuff going on out there at Schatz Ranch this weekend. Amy and I will both be out there. And we've got a pretty full weekend. So as I was talking about on Amy's show this morning, I think it was just this morning. I don't know exactly what we're going to do about the Liberty Lounge, because there's going to be a lot of Fridays that I'll be teaching classes. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but I'm going to try to make it work. I'll say that the worst case scenario, it may wind up being pre-record, or maybe an hour of a live and an hour of pre-record or something like that. Maybe a compromise there, but I'll let you know. I want to keep it going because that's a fun show and it's a good way to go into the weekend. And I hope we can just keep going as normal, but can't say for sure. So I'll let you know. Okay. Wow, I got to try to pick around through all of this gun stuff here. I've got lots of gun stuff to talk about. Try to work through that. Well, let's start first with an honor student. Honor student in Clarksville, Tennessee. Let me, before we get into this, let me go see who we got in the chat room here. Let's see. Hey, Maddie in there. How about your other half? Let me look and see who all. Well, let me see. I can click on this button because I have the power. Edge of the Woods, 007. Hopper, Kilo, Lima 20 Alpha, Maddie Buck, outstanding. Mini, M. Jantz, Mother Earth, Pumpkin Cat, Rights at Risk, couple of anonymous. All right, very good. Let's see. Let me. Yeah, well, I'm going to figure out something, Rights at Risk. I'm going to, by golly, we're going to, I'd say worst case, very worst case, the whole show will be a pre-record. Second worst case, it'll be half of a pre-record. And best case, we'll just keep going right as normal. Or an alternative to that would be on the Fridays that I'm able to, we'll go as normal. The Fridays that I'm not able to, will be pre-records. Maybe that'll work. But anyway, I'm going to try to avoid playing archives during that, even if it's Liberty Lounge archives. If something happens and I'm out of time and just don't have any other choice, then I may wind up having to do that. But I intend to have, if we have to do that, fresh pre-records. That's about all we can do, Rights at Risk. We'll just have to see what we can do. Or we might be able to get somebody to sub for me. There's always that. You know. But, I don't know. We'll work it out. We'll see how it is. All right. Back to Clarksville, Tennessee. I would like for you guys to participate here in a poll, petition. Clarksville, Tennessee, we have a young man here because of these stupid, idiotic zero-tolerance policies because people don't want to take any responsibility. There's an honor student here that has been so severely punished for a fishing knife that they found in his car on school property that he might lose his chance at a college scholarship. Now, if it was his car, well, I mean, finding a knife in a car, I mean, finding a gun in a car, I mean, I guess that's one thing, but finding a knife in a car, so what? Jeez. The only reason they didn't want us carrying pocket knives in school is because we were always carving our names in the desks. So it's, that was the only reason we got in trouble for. Matter of fact, we left them in our pocket and didn't carve our name in the desk. Nobody said nothing. And having one in the car, gets serious. Well, this was pretty serious. But the problem was he borrowed his dad's car that day, and it just so happened that they were doing a random check of some lockers and vehicles, and they happened to pick his vehicle. They borrowed his car, and he allowed the search, and because he said, quote, he had nothing to hide. Well, he didn't know he didn't have anything to hide. He borrowed his dad's truck, it was a car. The dad is a commercial fisherman by trade. So you can imagine how things went down from there. After the random lockdown, his car was searched. His they found a knife wedged between one of the seats. Actually, I guess if it was wedged, it just about had to be in between two of the seats, or between the back and the seat, or whatever. Anyway, he said that he told the school officials and the sheriff's department that it was fine. He had no idea that the knife was in there. And the sheriff said, it doesn't matter. It was in your possession anyway. Common sense has completely disappeared. It doesn't exist anymore. There's none. Responsibility. Shame. I mean, I don't know. You know, there's just so many things. This is wrong. So many levels here. But an absolute monumental overreaction. And so was the punishment. So bad that his future in more ways than one are threatened. Not only, as we said, is missing his may miss his chance at a scholarship if somebody doesn't wake up and get a little bit of brains from somewhere, or go down to Walmart and see if they can buy a clue. He also, and this is the worst part yet, is he also faces felony charges for bringing a weapon on school grounds. It's a knife. It's just a knife. It was not a gun. Not a cannon, not a hand grenade, it was a knife. They suspended him for 10 days, maximum allowed under school policy, and then he was reprimanded to attend 90 days at an alternative school. So they're getting rid of him for 100 days. He's got an appeal hearing Wednesday with the school board. I'm thinking that the school board, unless they receive a hell of a lot of feedback here, is where you guys come in. I posted my signature on Facebook, and they send me an email every little bit of all the people that have signed up because of my signature, and there's been quite a few, and I appreciate that. But if this punishment is upheld, he won't be able to attend prom. He won't be able to go to his JROTC ball or walk at the graduation. His family said it's unclear whether he'll be able to graduate at all. The kid has a 3.0 grade average, on the honor roll, has never, ever, ever been sent to the principal's office. He said scholarship applications have stopped since it's unclear what the future is. Also faces weapons charges with the county sheriff's department. It's bad enough that the school, why do they have to get the sheriff involved? So, a petition has been started that may help to end the suspension. Have the charges dropped and not punish him for the days he's already missed through this idiotic suspension already. There are, I don't know how many signatures there are. This morning when I read this, it was last night when I read this, there had been over 4,000 signatures at the time. I don't know where it's at right now, but I'm going to put a link in here, and if you guys, if this ticks you off as bad as it does me, then I would invite you to go and sign up for this thing. Let me see. It says, trying to figure out how many. There's 25,000 signatures needed on there, and they need to have this here most Ricky Tick. And I don't know. I'm trying to find out where the they're at 15,000 right now. They still might be able to make it. They were at 4,000 last night. So I'm gonna put this in here for you, and Hopper, it doesn't matter that they sent the kid to the school or not. It's not the kid's fault. It's not the parents' fault. A kid shouldn't be punished because his parents didn't homeschool him. Not everybody has the luxury of doing that. Some people have to have different jobs and different conditions in their life, and they're not able to do that. So we can't punish him for that. So if you don't want to sign it, that's okay, but I would encourage the rest of you to sign it. I think that it's for the kids' sake there. Let me get my color. My deal must have run out here. So here we go. All right, there you go. That should take you to it right there. But everything that we're honor student. I mean, if it had been a little punk gangbanger, you know, that wasn't getting anywhere anyway, well, maybe it'd be different. But he's Michael Berry's awesome. I did an interview with Michael Berry back during the sign thing. Back in year before last, I mean. And these zero tolerance things are just—it's unreal. It's asinine, absolutely ridiculous. What is Doc saying here? Like, to see someone at the school board say, "I'm a fairly wealthy man. Any of you who vote to uphold this boy's punishment will see me donate $10,000 to your opponent's campaign the next election." It's over, up to you. Yeah, that's a good way to do it, Doc. I would too if I had the money. I think that would be cool. All right. Well, how do they keep it from happening to begin with? I mean, it's the zero tolerance policy is there. I agree that it shouldn't be there, and that would be the way to nip it in the bud, is to get rid of the zero tolerance policy, which is what Michael Berry is trying to do, and a lot of the rest of us are trying to do. But that does not change the circumstances of this particular incident. And this kid does not deserve that, regardless of whether he should have been homeschooled or not. I absolutely agree that he should have been, but he wasn't. I agree that someone else should have been president of the United States, but they weren't. So we have to deal with what we have right now. So, anyway, there you go. If you guys want to get on there and sign that, go ahead. We've had a lot of people have done it so far, and I am tickled that it's moving along the way it is there. I mean, this kid didn't even make a mistake. He drove his kid, you know, his... If anybody made a mistake, it would have been his dad for not remembering that there was a knife in there. That's his trade. That's what he does. He guts fish for a living. And he just didn't think about it being in there. It's probably hidden. No telling how long it'd been in there if it was wedged between the seats. Now, the thing is, someone should have taught the kid, and a lot of people just don't know. This is what we talked about with Amy's sister and the stop sign issue here in California a while back. She just didn't know. And this kid obviously didn't know that you do not have to give consent to search the car. No, you're not searching my car. No, I don't have anything to hide, but there's nothing in there that you need. If you want to search my car, you get a warrant. It's that simple. And you not allowing them to do that is not probable cause to get a warrant either. Hey, Gauntlet, how you doing? Glad to see you in there. So, I think the way the story read, I think that he probably had, I don't know if he had a job, but I think he had his own car. It just happened to be, I don't know if it was being worked on or broke down or whatever the case may be, and he had to borrow his dad's car. So, anyway... Job or no job, homeschooling or no homeschooling, whatever the case is, he's not at fault, and he should not have to lose his right to vote, his right to buy a gun, any one of a dozen other civil rights he's not going to be able to exercise, and he shouldn't miss his graduation and everything else. I mean, it's just stupid. It's way stupid. All right, thanks, guys. For those of you that signed it, I appreciate that. All right. let's move on here. And it didn't have anything to do with policies that they agreed to. It had to do with the kid not being educated in such a way as to say no to the search. If you're going to attend school there, you don't have much choice but to agree to them. And not everybody is as smart as us and know about these kind of things. So when they don't, we need to. Hey, good, Rise at Risk. Thank you. What is your? How come I don't see you on Facebook? Are we not friends? Do you not love me? I love you. You should be on my Facebook friend. Maybe be one of my Facebook friends. No. Yeah, or maybe you are. Maybe I haven't looked at maybe you're under a name I don't recognize or something, but I'll check it out. All right. Good deal. All right. Let's move on here. Where did I lose my... Oh, here we go. Here's another one. Can you get by? Oh. All right. A little bit of news on Louis Farrakhan here. Louis Farrakhan, are you leaving? Where are you going? Am I making too much noise?
No.
All right, Louis Farrakhan. He is... He's saying, you can bring out your soldiers. We got some, too. He's saying that... He's urging the black community to get together along religious lines here in order to form their very own judicial system. That's what he talked about this last Sunday. And he spoke in Detroit in front of around 18,000 people. And you know that he is the Nation of Islam self-proclaimed leader. And he used this annual convention to deliver... for this speech criticizing our Stand Your Ground laws, as well as the American legal system allegedly biased against blacks. He said, how long was me... How long must we let people stand their ground, shooting us and getting away with it while we don't get justice? We want justice. Equal justice under the law. We want the federal government to intercede to see that black people get justice in accordance with the law. Well, you poor little thing. Sounded like he was... Well... Farrakhan said that if the government can't deliver justice, the only choice left would be for the black community to establish its own system. A court based on the Bible and the Quran. Our people can't take much more. That's what he said. We have our own courts. We have to have our own courts. You failed us. Has America been just to us? After all, the crowd said no. He said, if we retaliate, you can bring out your soldiers. We got some too. So that sounds like a very thinly veiled threat to me. They said that he also lashed out at claims that he was anti-Semitic. Last year he criticized satanic Jews for controlling U.S. institutions. Also blasted Obama for surrounding himself with Satan, members of the Jewish community. Did Jesus have a problem with the Jews of his day? He's not a hater, neither am I. I don't hate Jewish people. What I hate is evil, he said. After... noting that Henry Ford was also called an anti-Semite, he said, I feel like I'm in good company. So there you have it. There's Louis Farrakhan. I'm not sure that I'm a fan in any remote stretch of the imagination here. All right. Was it break time yet? It's pretty close. I think... we're trying to get ready to go to Schatz Ranch tomorrow night, so let me go in here and find a little bit I should have been ready for you. You know, I'm getting bad about this. I'm not getting in here and in getting my breaks done when I'm supposed to, or the way I'm supposed to. So stand by here just a second, and we'll get something in here to use and abuse you. All right, this ought to do it. All right, here we go.
I'll be back.
Now you listen to me. Who the hell are you? You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt. On the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain. And that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Criminals prefer an unarmed public. Our nation's worst crime statistics and most horrific recent events have taken place in areas that are known to be no-carry zones for law-abiding citizens. There's a reason schools make such good targets for gun violence. Only the criminal will be armed.
I had to chuckle because then I noticed he had Mr. Brady up here who was hit not with an assault weapon but with a .22 caliber revolver. So getting beyond that.
It's about the weapons, the guns. Where did the killer get them?
They're shocked at how easy it is to purchase a gun.
It is simply too easy to obtain a firearm.
While the gun is considered an instrument of war by many, to me, it is clearly an instrument of peace and of liberty. The gun promotes peace in the hands of peaceful people. The gun has no mind of its own, it has no morals, and it has no conscience. In the same moment that the gun takes a life, it can be saving one and not be able to distinguish the difference. The gun and its use, for good or for evil, is solely at the discretion of its bearer.
It took me a good 45 seconds to realize that this man wasn't there to commit a robbery. He wasn't there for a hit. He was there to simply shoot as many people as he possibly could.
The gun levels the playing field when confronted by larger men, armed men, multiple attackers, and tyrannical governments. The right of self-preservation, the right to possess that gun, was afforded me by my maker and is non-negotiable. It is not up for consideration or discussion by any man or group of men on this earth. The right to bear arms is what protects my other rights, and considering the source of that right, it cannot and will not be taken away or disguised as some watered-down compromise. There are a few rights that man is born with. And it has been that way since the dawn of time. The Constitution of the United States enumerates those rights for us, and the protection that it affords us is comforting. However, the Constitution has been ignored, gagged, whisked away to an office full of men that have taken pleasure in violating her, leaving her torn and bleeding, unable to help herself. People that were appointed stewards over her have been neglectful. They have been lured into complacency and have inadvertently turned a blind eye towards this criminal act. We, the people, have been distracted. We were promised safety and protection by the very men that have perpetrated this vile deed.
without the support and protection of free men, dedicated, patriotic Americans, the Constitution is truly nothing more than a piece of paper.
Remember real clear years ago in the swamps of South Georgia, cane pole and crossman in my hands, all I needed to be growed up. Homemade ice cream and barbecue and the family on Friday nights. 10-lane ramp on Saturday right before the morning light. Came a time I was old enough and I learned about the gun. And every night at supper time I answered to what I'd done. Hooks to Dave, I forgot about the way it used to be. They got no respect and no cold steel, just games on TV. I burn in hell before I sell my rights away from me. It's high time we embrace the tool that keeps all men free.
We have a message for those that would take our guns away, whomever they may be, from whatever country, whatever unconstitutional faction they may belong to. Please understand that we have had everything taken from us that we are willing to surrender. Some of us have been shooting since before many of you were born. Many of us were trained by the same people that trained you. And some of us, through years of experience, know tricks that they haven't taught you yet. Think of your families and your future with them as we have done. We have decided that our future and that of our children cannot and will not be without freedom. We are willing to die to defend those God-given rights if need be. The question that each of you must ask yourselves, are you willing to die to take them away?
From Hillary Clinton, from Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, from a whole gaggle of numbnuts who would try to tell me they will dictate where, how, and if I can defend myself. I find that preposterous. I find it unacceptable, and I will not accept it. I am a free man. Don't tread on me.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Corp Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me there.
Okay. Here we come. Doc, that that movie, the Say My Name clip, that's from, hey, Amy. Let me get Amy in here. She'll remember. Dadgummit, I just watched some of it here the other day. Stand by 1 second here. She can't hear me. Anyway, I'll think of it in a minute. Breaking Bad, that's what it is. Breaking Bad, that's where that came from. It's an interesting show. It's kind of funny. 007, I'll check that out here a little later when I get my message there. the I don't know what Governor Brewer did with the NFL. I'm not sure what is going on with that. But I do see where let me see here. Let me check back in my chat here a little bit and see what's going on. Hold on just a second here. We got lots of stuff going on here. See if I can check it up and see how many new people we got here. Okay. The mountain shooter shots, as far as I know, is not getting wet yet. The forecast calls for rain over the weekend, which sucks. We need the rain, but we've been needing it every weekend. Now all of a sudden we're going to go out there. We got an event going on. We're moving stuff out there to the pro shop and all of this stuff. And and it looks like it's going to rain. So that's just dandy. But anyway. All right, let's cruise down here. Okay. Now, I don't know what the NFL had to do. I don't, in my way of thinking, I don't think she caved in. She vetoed the bill, what was the most recent bill here, 1062. And she should have. That bill should have never come up to start with. It's not a religious bill. It's not a gay rights bill. It's not anything. It's about constitutional rights, constitutional freedom. If someone, now what the bill, for those of you that don't know what that bill was about, it was, if it had passed, it would have allowed business owners to not do business with someone because of their sexual orientation. And that's wrong. Because they're trying to use religious freedom or religious rights as the basis for this. Okay, if they want to be, well, she didn't say the word constitution, and she didn't have to. When she said in her talk about that, it's about rights. If they pulled the Super Bowl from Arizona, you know, that's fine. And whether that was the reason or not, I don't know. But it was still the right thing to do. If these homos want equality and they want to be equal, they need to act equal. Matter of fact, Brandi Barron said the same thing in her Facebook page earlier. Most of these people, if they want to go and make out and make a big scene out of it, then they need to be kicked out, whatever orientation they are. If they go and sit down and eat and do their thing just like any normal human being, then you let them eat and let them be on their way. But she didn't, in her talk about this, she didn't say anything about the Constitution, but what she was saying was very much, matter of fact, let me go see if I can find that. She said, I believe that the bill had the potential to create more problems than it purports to solve. Gay rights advocates gathered outside the Capitol, broke out in loud cheers. Blah, blah, blah. Let's see. Let me see if I can find out here the rest of her thing. Discrimination has no place in Arizona or anywhere else. That was the director of the ACLU. We're grateful the governor has stopped this disgraceful law from taking effect. The defenders, let's see, still can't find out where her deal is here. This, there's another, someone, one of the proponents of this said basic respect for LGBT, what is that, lesbian, gay, bisexual, turds, or something like that. People, basic respect for these people extends across party lines, and anti-LGBT bias isn't just bad politics, it's bad for business. So that whole thing right there shouldn't have come up. It's not about gay rights, and it's not about politics, and it's not about religion. It's about equal protection under the law. I don't like that lifestyle. I am vehemently opposed to that kind of lifestyle. And I don't mind telling anybody that I think you're sick. I think you've taken the word gay, which was, and you've heard me say this before, happy, describing, gay children, gay laughter, whatever, and turned it into something filthy and perverse. But as long as you don't try to get me involved with it, as long as you don't do it in front of myself, my wife, my kids, the whole thing goes by. If you profess to be a Christian, then you hate the sin, not the sinner. And as long as they act respectful and do things like normal people when they come in to the restaurant or to your store, then they should be served like anybody else. When they start acting like fags, then you kick them out just like you would anybody else. That's my two cents worth on it there. But we seem to always try to it's like the boycott thing. We're all willing to boycott something when we have another choice. But I got on some guys the other day, and one of them was a listener, and I haven't seen him back in the chat since then. But nevertheless, listener or not, if you're wrong, you're wrong. There's people that still, if you're a gun owner, you should not be supporting the NFL or the NASCAR. And the guy said, well, I still support my driver because he's not his fault one way or the other. Okay, I understand that on the one hand, but it's the drivers that without drivers there would be no NASCAR. If my driver, which I don't have one, and this is probably why, if my driver had my mindset, my driver would say, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to support NASCAR because of the way you did the NRA. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be a big NRA fan either. It's about guns and gun rights, not about the NRA, not about NASCAR, not about drivers. It's purely about gun rights and gun... So by the way, speaking of gun rights, let me tell you something else that I learned today. We're trying to figure out how we want to do certain things with Schatz Ranch. And they said, well, the PayPal is the easiest, fastest, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, they apparently are anti-gun, have been for some time. Okay, I talked to three different people at PayPal today. One thing about PayPal, they got phone numbers for you to call and people answer, which is unbelievable to me. They were exceedingly polite, exceedingly knowledgeable in what they did, and I was flabbergasted. I had not expected that. They were as polite and professional and courteous as anybody I've ever talked to on the phone. And I talked to the one guy, excuse me, hang on just a second, let me get rid of this. All right, let's see if that's better. I talked to the one guy there, and we're talking about, he said, what exactly do you do at Schatz Ranch, and what do you do, da, ba, da, da, da. And I said, well, we train people. I was trying to be honest without going, volunteering too much information. I said, we train people in survival and preparedness issues, which that's true. I mean, that's what we do. And when you're talking about gun, I just tried not to get into the gun thing too much because I was still under the impression that they're anti-gun. Well, he'd come along and he asked the question, do you sell. Well, what we was talking about was getting one of those card swiping thingies that you put on your phone. And he said, "Do you sell guns and ammunition?" And I said, "Well, not in the pro shop. That's not. It's for other stuff." And he said, "I said, well, we will have guns out there, but they will not be sold through this, and it doesn't have anything to do with my account with PayPal." And he said, "Well, that's okay. The firearms training, you know, if that's what you do, and any of that kind of stuff, most of your accessories and all that," he says, "that's all fine." And then he explained to me, and I don't know why I didn't think about this earlier. How stupid am I? This is the fact that most of your credit card companies now are saying no guns. He said, instead of trying to sort out which ones take them and which ones don't and everything, it has nothing to do with whether we like guns or whatever. It's because most of the credit card companies will not let us process these things if they know they're selling guns. And you know that to be true because we've been through this. We've talked about it on the show many times. So sometimes it's not the company itself, like, say, Visa, but it may be the company that has the card, what I'm trying to say, the bank or whatever. So he said, all it is strictly guns and ammunition and maybe a few parts like, you know, uppers and stuff like that, lower part, gun parts. Not gun parts like Glock dry practice kits or magazines or any of that kind of stuff. It's just guns, ammo, and a few things that are almost guns. So I was glad to hear that, actually, and we went ahead with our PayPal account. We will have things set up here, most Ricky Tick, through PayPal so that you can sign up for your classes. You can buy most anything we have in the pro shop through PayPal, and the Glock dry practice kits and all that stuff will be able to be sold through PayPal. So there you have it. What else was I going to say? All right, we'll let that go a minute. I think that was all I wanted to talk about on Governor Brewer's deal there. Now, true enough, let's call a spade here. Governor Brewer quite possibly did cave in to pressure from outside, you know, from the NFL or whoever. And that's okay. Let me rephrase that. It's not okay. I guess the bill itself was bad, and I'm glad that it was vetoed for whatever reason she vetoed it, whether it was wrong or right. It needed to be vetoed. And I guess what I would have got me off on a tangent there when we were talking about remember the story here about 2, maybe 3 months ago, there was a girl and her boyfriend, and the girl invited him over, knowing that he was a pedophile, invited him over to have sex with her 4-month-old baby, and they wound up sexually abusing and strangling and killed that baby. That is absolutely mind-boggling, astounding to me. But Wesley heard me talking about that and was fixing to take a shower, and he comes out of the bathroom half-dressed and said, "I would kill that." Well, you know, I probably would too. There's no problems about it. If I know beyond reasonable doubt that he did it, absolutely I would. The problem here, we were talking about equal protection under the law. Doc, I do. Yeah, you can. I do want to talk about that tomorrow. I'm glad you reminded me. Please remind me tomorrow. I'll try to remember to put it in my phone here during the next break, and remind me. But as long as we have a good internet connection, well, we will, because we'll be doing it here in Sholo. So, yes, absolutely. We would like to do that tomorrow. Doc, hopefully, will be my guest for an undetermined amount of time tomorrow night. So be sure and join us. It is a gun-related thing that we're going to talk about. So join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Good, good, interesting topic there that we've picked, or that he's picked. So, would I kill this guy if I knew that if I were in a position to do it legally and knew beyond a reasonable doubt that he did what he did? Oh yes, yes I would. Would I make it slow, painful, brutal? Would I skin him and make boots out of him? No. No, as much as it would be hard to resist the urge to do that. That, and even saying that kind of stuff, makes us no better than him. Should he be punished? Should he give up his rights, freedom, and in fact his very life for what he did? Absolutely. Should she? Abso-frickin-lutely. Without doubt. As long as it can be proven, and I think it pretty well has been, then the state should not be paying for the only thing they should pay for is two bullets. These guys on that website, on the reviews, I mean not the reviews, the comments, there was, most of the comments on there saying that, that that's exactly what they would do, that they would make it so slow and they would make it brutal and make it painful and make it last and make it okay. How does that make you any better than him? If there is equal protection under the law, if you profess to be even remotely have any sense of values at all, and then Christian or not, how could you say something like that? There's a there's a limit somewhere to, or there should be, to what we, how we respond to this type of thing. And that's kind of what I was saying. It's along the same lines, not as dramatic, but along the same lines when I was talking about guys that are still doing the NASCAR and NFL and stuff, because that's their thing. They love it. They love it. They eat, sleep, drink NASCAR, NFL, you know, whatever the case may be. 1911s, I don't care, whatever it is. You enjoy it to such a degree that you're willing to sacrifice your own values. Now we say, well, I won't ever wear Levi Strauss again because they support gay marriage. Well, you know, that's a financial, a fiscal solution for you, and that's okay. I don't mind that. If you don't want your money, that's just like gun rights. If you don't want your money to support these issues, whatever it may be, then you have every right to not financially support them. And I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. But to profess to have all these high upstanding values, and well, I won't buy a, back when Hewlett Packard used to be on the anti-gun list, they are not anymore, by the way. That's why this laptop in front of me right now is a Hewlett Packard, because of that. They've come off the list a couple of years ago. But instead you say, okay, I won't buy a Hewlett Packard computer. I'll buy a Dell, or I'll buy a, you know, whatever, a Toshiba, because I won't support someone that won't support my gun rights. Okay, you got another choice there. You know, NASCAR is pretty much the only game in town. and the NFL and the Super Bowl and all that kind of stuff, if you're planning on partaking in the football thing, then you're pretty limited in what you can do. And the overwhelming majority, as I can tell from Facebook posts and from some of the blogs and stuff to go look at, they have quietly ignored what went on with the NFL. And yeah, Formula One, there's another choice right there. They've quietly ignored this and gone on about their normal lives. They just don't get on their popular gun related things and brag about it and talk about it too much. So anyway, that's my rant for the night here. Let me see here. Yeah, let me read you. Let me read you a deal we have, and I've heard of this girl. She's one of my Facebook friends, but I don't know anything about her. I mean, anything at all. What I did learn about her, I learned tonight. Her name is Brandy Barron. I'm not sure exactly what her thing is. If she's a representative. State senator, whatever she is, I don't know. She's not in my part of the state. But I did read her why she opposed this bill, this SB 1062. She said this bill was more than just religious freedom or gay rights. People forget that Christianity isn't the only religion in our country, and that there are some religions that have practices, beliefs that many others find offensive and can be dangerous. Do we really want to open the door to a defense for some Muslim practices? As for the gay issue, if gays truly want to be equal and be treated as equals, the answer is simple: act equal. Businesses have the right to refuse service to people who are problematic for business. Lost my place here. If you truly are equal, you will act as like your equals around you and respect them and expect to be respected. For those whining about having the right to deny service to gays because of religious beliefs, I don't know about all religions, but I do know that Christians are supposed to love their neighbors and judge not. Remember what Christ told the people who wanted to stone Mary Magdalene, a prostitute: let he among you who is without sin cast the first stone. He didn't condemn her. He stood up for her. You have every right to believe that homosexuality is wrong, whether it is a religious belief or not. I don't understand it myself, but as long as nobody is forcing me to observe or partake, I don't care. You have the rights to your beliefs, but not to discriminate against others because of them. I've been a business owner, and any intelligent business owner knows that if you really don't want to serve somebody, there's always an excuse that you can find to do it tactfully and without seeming to discriminate. All this law really does is provide you with an excuse to be blatantly rude about your discrimination. Is that really what your religion teaches you? So I thought that was a good explanation of that. I have pondered on this ever since since before the Governor Brewer's decision today. Started thinking about this pretty hard. It's been looming for quite a while, but I started thinking about it pretty hard yesterday, and trying to figure out what was the right thing with this. And it finally come to me that having to ponder on it for so long kind of puts me into the same category with some of these other people that I'm telling you shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't have had to ponder on it as long as I did. I should have said, under the way that it's worded and everything, I should have been able to say, you know what? This is not a constitutional thing here. So, anyway. All right. Well, we've muddled around here and gone just past our break a little bit. So, give us a few minutes and we'll be back.
You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Now you listen.
Who the hell are you?
You know. You all know exactly who I am. Say my name.
You what? I don't have a damn clue who the hell you are.
Yeah, you do.
That's right.
Now, say my name.
John Galt on the Teotihuacan Radio Show, live Friday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern, only on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Hurricanes, tornadoes, western firestorms, earthquakes, financial collapse, government upheaval. What happens when Walgreens closes? Whom do you turn to? You turn to Kat Ellis and myself, Chuck Hudson, on the MediChat, and learn how combat medicine and alternative herbal remedies can help keep you going no matter what. The MediChat, live 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, on the Just Measures Radio Network.
Debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
The Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Saturday evenings, 9 p.m. on JMR. Remember, we all are the library for those who come after us.
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
Okay, we're back for the second half of the shooting bench tonight. Edge of the Woods, no, I don't think you sent that to me. I don't remember seeing it. So give me a new one. That'll be good. Okay, don't forget to join us tomorrow night with for the all-gun-related version of the shooting bench. And our own Doc One will be joining us here. We have a very, very interesting thing to talk about. And I've got several interesting things. We've got a lot of issues concerning guns tomorrow, and I think Doc's stuff will probably only take about 15 minutes or so, and 15, 20 minutes, whatever it takes, that'll be fine. But we still have several things to go over, regardless of how many issues we talk about here. I mean, how long Doc takes. So let's see here. That's guns. Okay, here's a couple things that are not guns. Got three other stories here. Wow. We were talking with Jason. Jason's actually here at the house with us tonight because he's come down from Schatz Ranch, brought a trailer down here, and we're loading up stuff to take to the pro shop. And we were talking here a little bit a while ago. Wesley said, what are you going to talk about tonight? And I said, well, I don't know. If I can get on the computer 5 minutes before showtime, I'll find something. There's damn sure no shortage of things to talk about. It's just unbelievable that things are changing quite literally by the hour. And there's no shortage of topics here. As a matter of fact, there's so many of them that after a day or two, a lot of these things are just completely outdated. And we're having a little bit of slow computer going on here, so give me just a minute. Come on, I don't know what is the problem. So while we're waiting for this problem to resolve itself, let me remind you to check out our schedule at Schatz Ranch if you're interested in firearms or survival preparedness training. As a matter of fact, the next class that Chuck will be doing, Edge of the Woods out there, another combat medic class, will be coming up in May. It's toward the end of May, I believe. I haven't got the schedule in front of me. I'm trying to make things work here, and they're not working. And it is ticking me off a little bit. There we go. All right, it's starting to work. Very good. Thank you. Let me make sure that this video doesn't start here in the middle of everything and peeing my post-toasties. Okay. There has been another Supreme Court ruling here. They have they've kind of peed on the Fourth Amendment here, not completely, but quite a bit. They've given police a little bit more power to conduct a warrantless search of a home. And that's not quite as bad as it sounds, but it's not good. It doesn't mean that they can just take off randomly and go into any house they want any time they want. But they have ruled that they can search a home without obtaining a warrant, despite the objections of one occupant, if that occupant has been removed from the premises. So say, despite the objection of one occupant. So they had one case in particular here, and the guy objected and they didn't do it, so they arrested him, took him to jail. Supreme Court said as long as he was in jail and someone else did not object, that you could do a warrantless search. Is the way that I get this. 6-3 decision in the Fernandez versus California case. This was just yesterday that this happened. The court sided with law enforcement's ability to conduct warrantless searches after restricting police powers with its 2006 decision on a case similar to this. In 2009, Los Angeles Police Department tried to find this Walter Fernandez, believing that he had stabbed someone in a gang robbery. When police first arrived at the suspect's home, they heard yelling and screaming before the live-in girlfriend answered the door, appearing freshly bruised and bloody, and with an infant in hand. So Fernandez was spotted by the police, and he said, "Get out, I know my rights, you can't come in." but the police arrested him on charges of domestic violence. Later, once Fernandez was out of the home, police asked the girl that was there for permission to conduct the search, and she said, yeah, that's okay. So I don't see that this is as dastardly as it sounds, because the way they've worded this here, if the girl would have said no, it still would have been no. But since she... Now, the thing is, she's a girlfriend, she doesn't own the house, but she did live there, and the other guy was gone. So, that, to me, that she doesn't have the right... Well, I can't say that. There are people that say, well, marriage, you know, certificate's just a piece of paper. If this woman lived there, if that was her home, married or not, and she gave permission to search the house, then... Well, she did. That's just the way it is. Rights at risk. At first glance here, it seems a little confusing, but I'm not sure that it's... I'm kind of like you when I first looked at it, but I'm not sure it's quite as confusing as what I first thought. The court's decision justified the police actions, with Samuel Alito writing the majority's position. He said, a warrantless consent search is reasonable and thus consistent with the Fourth Amendment, irrespective of the availability of a warrant. He added that denying someone in Rojas' position, that was the girlfriend, the right to allow police to enter her home would also show disrespect for her independence. So if they still asked her if it was okay, it was still her home. She was the girlfriend. She lived there. What are you doing up, Kelly?
I was going
to say
I got a little drop
of blood
soaked on my arm or
something.
Okay.
Go ask Amy. She'll help you. And... So the ones that joined him in this decision were Breyer, Kennedy, Roberts, Scalia, and Thomas. Ginsburg was in the minority with Kagan and Sotomayor. And this was not divided down party lines. It was divided down gender lines for whatever reason. And anyway, she wrote the dissenting opinion, calling it a blow to the Fourth Amendment. Now, is it really a blow to the Fourth Amendment? Fourth Amendment prohibits unreasonable searches and seizures. Was it really a blow to the Fourth Amendment? The lady lived there. They still asked permission. And she gave it to them. And they searched the house. So, no, they didn't have a warrant. Could she have told them, go get a warrant, if she said no? Well, the way this is worded, yes, it appears that she could have. But she didn't. She said, I don't care. Go ahead, do what you want to. And they did. Instead of, and this is what Ginsburg wrote here, Ruth Ginsburg, instead of adhering to the warrant requirement, today's decision tells the police they may dodge it, never mind ample time to secure the approval of a neutral magistrate, shrinks to petite size our holding in Georgia versus Randolph. Georgia versus Randolph was a case that they had addressed in 2006 when they had a domestic violence suspect that wouldn't allow police to come into a home, although the wife did offer police consent. The police ultimately entered the home. The court ruled in the case that the man's refusal while being present in the home should have kept authorities from entering. Should it or shouldn't it? The man said no. The woman, being married and being an equal thing there, said yes. What are the cops supposed to do? One says no, one says yes. It's not okay with one, it is okay with the other. What do you do? Flip a coin? Heads you win, tails I lose. Um, They said that a physically present inhabitant's express refusal of consent to a police search of the home is dispositive as to him, regardless of the consent of a fellow occupant. That's what the majority ruled in that particular case. In addressing the Randolph case, in the majority option, Alito wrote that the difference between that case and Fernandez was the physical presence of the suspect. Our opinion in Randolph took great pains to emphasize that its holding was limited to situations in which the objecting occupant is physically present. And that's what I get out of this. The one thing, the Fernandez guy was gone. They arrested him on domestic violence charges because they witnessed what was going on there and had probable cause without a warrant to get the guy and arrest him, but not to search the place. When they got him taken care of, they come back, ask her if they could search it. She said yes. Frankly, if she said yes and she lived there, I'm sorry, I don't see a problem with that. Alito said, we therefore refuse to extend Randolph to the very different situation in this case, where consent was provided by an abused woman well after her male partner had been removed from the partner's apartment that they shared. Apartment that they shared is the key word here. If it had been a one-night stand that just happened to be there and had nothing to say or do with anything, then I, in my opinion, that would be a different story. But if an apartment that they shared, they lived together, married or not, she should have as much right to the place as to say yes or no as he did. So the B.B. Burner, in a way, B.B. Burner says, for you not on the chat, he says, I think basically they're saying that this is that is... It, that is, they arrest or detain you on scene. That is the same as not being present to say no to the search. Well, technically, if you want to, if he's not in the home and someone else is, does he still have the same authority and power? In my mind, yes, it should, except that there was also somebody there that had equal right and power to say, yes, go ahead. Now, they had arrested him and taken away. He was not physically present. He wasn't standing out in the yard when they did this. He had already been taken away. And now, does it seem a little bit underhanded, maybe? Well, possibly. But nevertheless, if he's not there, then he, well, I'm repeating myself. Good night, son. So, anyway, I don't see this as being quite that complicated and vague. Now what is scary is if they, you know, they've taken other things that were not complicated and vague and allowed themselves to do things that I don't think they should have. And if they abuse this and say, okay, you're under arrest, go get in that car right there, and then turn around and ask somebody else, and that's you know, that looks like that could be a possibility. But without seeing the exact wording of the bill, the ruling there, I'm not sure how they're supposed to act. But anyway, nevertheless, I don't think it's quite as bad as everybody is making it out to be. It may be, but at this point in time, I don't see it as being nearly what people are crying about with this. But Edge of the Woods, I see that your group from Phoenix contacted us about a class. Outstanding. That'll be a good deal. We'll definitely treat them right. And they, well, you know, right's a risk. You're probably right. I think they could twist and abuse it. Absolutely. But they've done it to much simpler law. Look at the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment says what it says. I mean, it's on a third grade level, as far as I'm concerned, it's easy to understand. And they have taken and turned that around and made it say things, you know, all kinds of different things over the years, and they've twisted it and turned it around and are abusing it. So you're absolutely right. They sure could twist it around and abuse it. And I think you should leave your tinfoil hat firmly in place, because there's probably good reason for it. But we'll keep an eye on it and see what happens here. Wow, I got so much gun stuff here. I need to get all this in order. And that's always been the case, Kilo, and that's true with the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and Fourth Amendment and the Tenth Amendment and Fourteenth Amendment and everything else, man. All right, let's look at this here. It'll take us up to break time. Here is one. Now, this is getting more and more frequent. We've talked about this a couple of times in less than a week. And that is a woman being, or a person, being either roughed up, arrested, abused, ridiculed, humiliated, because they were recording cops doing something, traffic stop or whatever the case may be. When this gal was pulled over in Florida, first thing she thought was to grab her cell phone and start recording. And now you can't blame her considering all the stories we hear about abuse, you know, around the country. But the cop didn't see it that way. After she said, informed, and I don't know why she informed the cop to start with, but after she told him that she was being recorded, he insisted that she had committed a felony. At that point, the sheriff's deputy, entered her vehicle through the passenger door trying to confiscate her phone. Now, here is another, as far as I'm concerned, this is another Fourth Amendment, a First Amendment and Fourth Amendment violation. The cop said, "I know the law better than you, believe me." And she's still refusing to comply. By the end of this, the girl was left with scrapes, bruises, and a strained wrist and brought to jail, where she was forced to spend the night. And now she's filed a lie. This was in Broward County, Florida. Now she's filed a lawsuit against him. And rightfully so. Here's another one. Angry cops to a man filming an arrest. He says, "You have no rights, no freedom of speech." College gets a First Amendment lesson after banning a student from passing out copies of the Constitution. So many different things going on here. It's unbelievable. Well, let's see here. Let me check my ever-growing list of things here. I've got to make sure that I don't. Okay, here's another one that's not gun-related. Tomorrow night's going to be a busy night, I'll tell you. We may wind up going overtime a little bit with all the things we got to talk about and squeeze Doc in there, too. But hang on just a second. Let's bring this up if everything's working according to Hoyle here. By the way, in case some of you are able to are very perceptive and notice that I'm drinking something between stories here. What I am drinking is water. Yep, plain old clear water. No, I'm not drinking Diet Dr. Pepper, because unlike some people, when I tell you that there is a reason, I won't say I fell off the wagon. I got a couple of them out of habit since the Super Bowl thing. There was a couple of times that I got, just because I've done it so much, so often, every day for so many years, that I managed to get one and without even thinking about it. But overall, I won't. I'm not drinking Diet Dr. Pepper anymore. I'm not drinking Dr. Pepper. I'm not drinking Coke. I'm not drinking Pepsi. If I can't find a Diet RC or a Diet Root Beer of some kind that is not made by Coke, then I drink water. Because I follow my own advice. Many Men Pen, I'm sorry you're losing sound, hon, but hopefully you'll get it all cleared up and be back here again next time. Water real, apparently I've heard that. I've always heard that it would rust your guts out there, so I've tried to avoid it over the years, but I'm getting better. I think being hydrated with something besides Diet Dr. Pepper is probably not necessarily a bad idea. So I don't think, let me look, actually I'm not that big a fan of Mountain Dew to start with, so no matter who makes it, I haven't really considered. It's okay. I like one once in a while, but it's not that exciting to me. Let's see here. Let me check. Okay. Mountain Dew is owned by the Pepsi Company, so that eliminates me drinking Mountain Dew. So, well, there you go. Okay. Let's go on here. Here is, come on, I've given you all the time in the world. Jeez, old Pete, come on already. I'll tell you what we'll do. We're close enough to break time here. Why don't we take a little break, and maybe this will be on by the time we get back. And we'll listen to this little Revolution deal here.
I'll be back.
I just hate stupid people.
Enemy is approaching fast, requesting orders. General, what should we do?
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. It needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable. Inevitable. Inevitable.
Inevitable. People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We called them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message.
I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we won't stand for tyranny. Oh, and it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench, here on Just Measures Radio.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, rolling them hills, and it's waiting for me
there. Okay, we're back. We're going to do another story or two and kind of trying to start easing towards the door and get out of here. Let me, I got to get my chat and go account thing squared away here. My signature, my color went away. Let's see what happens here. There it is. All right, we're squared away. Let me make sure. Wait a minute. Stand by. Hang on a minute. I think I just about got it. Stay with me. All right, here we go. All right, there we go. Better. Okay, all set. King City. About half the police department was arrested there. They had them quite a neat little deal. This reminded me of a drug ring that was being run by cops in Atlanta. Right about the time I left down there, they busted quite a little ring down there that was all police officers. They had a neat, tidy little thing going with abusing their authority and their badge. But this police chief's been chief for quite a while. And the acting police chief and five others, whether this original police chief said former police chief, he was the chief for a while, acting police chief now, and five others arrested in a major corruption bust just yesterday. In California, Monterey County, they said some of the top law enforcement officers there in the city became some of the top law breakers when they had orchestrated a neat little scheme there to, this is as bad as it gets. How many times have we talked about, this is definitely a jackbooted thug thing here, how many times have we talked about people abusing their authority? And when we should be able to trust people in uniforms, we should be able to trust teachers, we should be able to trust pastors. It's got to a point now where we can't trust nary one of the damn people. But they said some of these were economically disadvantaged, broke, and most of them were Mexicans, Hispanic descent, who were targeted and had their vehicles impounded. They had quite a neat little deal going here. They'd ordered hundreds of vehicles in King County to be towed, and the owners never got their cars back. And when they, because they couldn't afford to pay the impound fees, or couldn't speak English, or both, so the police officers kept the cars for free or sold them to make money. When you got five people doing this and hundreds of cars there, somebody's making a pretty penny. So 1 minute after 6 in the morning yesterday, 5 teams of FBI agents, Monterey County Sheriff's deputies, and Salinas police officers simultaneously arrested 6 King City police officers. And they've all been, this is what pisses me off, they've all been placed on paid administrative leave. One civilian was also arrested, and that was the dude that was actually, he was the brother of the chief and the owner of Miller's Towing Company. How convenient is that? They were all booked into Monterey County Jail, released within 6 hours after they posted bail. No doubt they could afford that. They talked to the chief as he was leaving jail, and he said, "I'm completely surprised. Accept a bribe? I have never done that. I'm blown away. I did not know this was coming." Well, maybe he's telling the truth. We'll find out more later, I'm sure. But it said that the chief said this is the worst day of his life. His reputation was tarnished forever. There's no coming back from this. Even if I'm found innocent, people are always going to look poorly upon me. I think my career is done. Well, that sounds like that's a distinct possibility. Anyway, they investigated this for 6 months, and a lot of the victims had come forward and told their stories, and it said some officers dishonored their badge. Anytime you end up investigating those who are sworn to uphold the law and treat everyone fairly, and you have violations of that oath, that is difficult. My conclusion is the citizens of King City deserve better than what they have been receiving. They said for every 10 to 15 cars impounded by this one sergeant, he would receive a free vehicle for himself. Every 10 to 15 cars, he got his very own car or whatever he wanted to do with it. Sell it, keep it, whatever. Said this investigation was spearheaded by a strong undercurrent flowing through King City in which residents had zero faith in their police department. While digging for clues, district attorney investigators said they watched the news coverage of the community's meetings where residents voiced their distrust and grievances. As it turned out, the residents were telling the truth. "The police are taking our property," they said. "They're taking our cars. They take our money. We can do nothing about it." Well, you know what? I've said it over and over and over, and I will keep saying it. This is going to come to a head at some point. And people are going to get tired of it. They're not going to go to news stations anymore. They're not going to file grievances anymore. They're not going to seek lawyer's advice. They're just going to be tired one day. They're just going to get. They're going to have all that they can take of it. The police department was in fact closed yesterday. Said the police station's front doors cannot remain open because so many officers were arrested, so they can't even efficiently run their department right now. Even though nearly half the police force is on administrative leave, residents have no reason to fear that law will not be enforced in their city. The sheriff's stepping in there and filling the gap up. So, anyway. Charges here, the one sergeant, conspiracy to commit a crime, accepting a bribe, and bribing an executive officer. The acting police chief, accepting a bribe. The civilian, who is the acting police chief's brother, and owns the towing company, conspiracy to commit a crime, and bribing an executive officer. The former chief, embezzlement by a police officer. Another, just an officer, embezzlement by a public officer. Another officer, possession of an assault weapon, illegal storage of a firearm. Another sergeant, making criminal threats. So there you have it. Interesting stuff. And corruption is everywhere. It's everywhere. It's just... We're seeing it in, that's right, Mountain Shooter. We're seeing it in every level. We're seeing it in schools. If you guys remember the school board meeting that we attended in Luna, well, actually we went to two or three of them. We videoed. I've actually got a video on YouTube about a school board meeting that we attended, and we did ultimately get the school superintendent kicked out, fired, released from his relieved of his duties, and things are much better at that school now, and not in no small part, I think, to the YouTube video that I put there. I was the only one filming it, and we made quite a splash there with this. I'd even put, I knew a couple of guys on the school board there. They belong also to the gun club. And while they were, they stepped out for just a second, and I had wrote on a note. I said, "You should be ashamed of yourself. I expected much better than that of you." And I signed it, and put it on his chair for when he came back. And the look on his face was priceless when he picked that up, and he looked right at me, and I just winked at him. And let's see here. If you're interested in checking out that school board meeting, it's a pretty good little video. Why is it not posting? Why? Oh, I see why it's not, because I'm stupid. Let's see what's... Okay, let's try this again. All right, there we go. Well, why are you doing that? Stop already. All right, here we go. Let's try this again. Why am I having so much trouble with this? This is not supposed to be doing this. All right, I give up. Huh. Okay, let's do it this way. There's more than one way to skin a cat here. Okay, let's try that. There you go. All right. If you want to check that out, that's a neat video. Matter of fact, the if you look at the very end, almost the very end of the video, you see a woman, an old woman, turn around and was not nice to me. And it was her son that I gave the note to on his chair up there, the one that I told him I was ashamed of him. So, anyway, always stay stirring hate and discontent whenever I can, wherever I can, and loving every damn minute of it. So, all right, well, I'm going to start easing towards the door here. We're a little bit early, but I tell you what, I'm doing the best I can keeping this going with all the things that I've got to do. So I hope you'll forgive me, because it's probably going to happen more often than not that I try to get out of here just a couple minutes early so I can have time to visit with my wife and get to bed a few minutes earlier. We are moving lots of stuff to Schott's Ranch starting tomorrow. Actually, we started today, packing it all up and getting ready to go. Hopefully the rain will hold off and give us a little break here so that we can get this stuff moved and put up. We have some very interesting training going on. I'm not going to tell you what it's about yet. It is strictly for Schott's Ranch staff and instructors and stuff. And Chuck, the reason I hadn't included you up there, because I knew that it was number one, this is a firearms related product, and number two, I know damn well you're not going to drive all the way here from Albuquerque just to go to this thing. So, but I will tell you about it once we get this out of the way here. And then we're going over our operations manual and all that stuff so that we can just get people on board and make sure that everybody understands what they're getting into and what our expectations are and all of that. And so it ought to be a good meeting. Property seizure without due process. Which one was that? What were we talking about there? I forgot. Okay, I got you. That was the police thing. Okay, I got you. I'm with you. All right. Well, it looks like my deal straightened up here finally, so I can post. All right, guys, I'm going to get out of here. I'm blabbering again. I think I have my archive set up and ready to go. So I will see you all in the morning with Amy's show. And we will probably be doing that from the shop so that we can jump right in there and start loading stuff up and get these trailers on their way right away. So, all right, well, see you all in the morning. Thanks for joining me.
This has been The Shooting Bench with Cope Reynolds of Southwest Shooting Authority.
Radio Network, the voice.